Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position, management, and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Y'all gonna forgive me. I asked my producer to play it a little longer than necessary. I have not heard anybody say they're gonna bring me one hairy mango tree. That's what I want for Christmas. See, because y'all may not know it yet, but the hairy mango, which we should call the juice mango, so people and the children wouldn't be so, you know, squeamish about it, is going to be a valuable fruit tree in the very near future. It's going to be more valuable economically than your fancy varieties, because that hairy mango tree is disappearing in our local environment. See, we don't like it. It's so hairy. Oh, When the storm blow down the tree, oh, that's just a hairy mango. Let it go. You let it go. Throw that away. That only dropping leaf and making trash in my yard. But I know Bahamians, many of them in the 3 Score and 10 gang, I know Bahamians who that's all they want for Christmas. That's the only type of mango they want in mango season. Don't bring them no lemon meringue, no Keats, no Kent, no Bombay. In fact, I got to ask this question. Did anybody have Bombay mango this mango season or last mango season? Oh, my goodness. Did y'all know there were Bombay mangoes in New Providence and in the Bahamas? Anyway, still don't rate with our local, I'm going to call it indigenous. It's not truly indigenous, but it's been here so long that we could technically call it indigenous hairy mango. So if you're buying me something for Christmas, buy me one or two or eight or 12 fruit trees, please. Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio. You're on the clock with Erin Green on this Tuesday, the 14th of December, 2021. Today is going to be a What's in the News show again. We had so much to talk about yesterday that we only sort of talked about two things. So we got a lot more to talk about. The carnival question is still in the papers, lots to talk about there. Then once Carnival had been, the question of whether Carnival would be authorized or not was raised, constituency teams and MPs got their act together, and there are a number of constituency events taking place this Christmas season that I expect will attempt to replace some of that Christmas Carnival cheer that you may be missing out. We're still waiting to find out if we're going to have an extra public holiday this year, I've been told. I wanted to talk about the Bahamas Republic since the press secretary mentioned it, but I don't think we're going to have time for that. Is the cannabis industry legislation possibly in the next year? I'm going to talk about that. I got a Christmas tip for you. possibly the best gift I ever give you. And then in yesterday's paper on Sunday in the news, the Ministry of National Security was talking about CCTV, police body cams. I'm going to talk about that as well. There's some new things in the paper this morning that I think we could possibly talk about. In particular, in the Guardian, in the business section, the front of the fold. Hoteliers concerned about plans for minimum wage hike and livable wage. That is very interesting. I know that Dwight and Dawn on Morning Blend talked about it briefly, talked about it a bit. I want to talk about that possibly as well. Then some things that didn't quite make it in the paper this morning. Last night and this morning, I saw a number of people raising concern about the travel platform, indicating that airlines in the U.S. were still requesting travel visa documentation and data before allowing people to get on flights. I haven't heard the outcome. I only saw questions being raised by people who did not know what to do when they were faced with that question at the airport, but I have not seen their responses to indicate whether they were allowed to travel or not. Some people indicated that they attempted to use the visa platform anyway and only got error messages. Some people indicated that they attempted to call the indicated numbers and nobody picked up. I think this is important. Then listening to the news this morning, road traffic is cashless. Oh boy, now not all the road traffic branches are cashless. But the question is, what are we doing forcing cashless services on people in cash-centered economies? Listening to the story this morning of someone who traveled from station to station, from road traffic station to station, unable to get anything done because they had cash and the offices they went to were cashless. And that raises a number of questions. Will I be penalized for not being licensed, even though I made every attempt to get it done within the allotted time, but could not because many of the available offices and units are cashless? I think this is a big issue that we need to talk about because the government has an obligation to ensure that everyone has equal and equitable access. I mean, essentially to everything, but in particular to these services or these functions or these processes that incur a penalty if not obliged or followed up. This is problematic for people on the family islands as well. The lack of communication available or communication platforms available for people attempting to use these services and the people who provide, monitor, or regulate these services is also a big problem. We like to say that Bahamians are just ignorant. They're just lazy. They don't want to advance. They don't want to be a part of the new world. But I don't think you all understand how difficult, how frustrating, and how annoying it is to use the vast majority of digital and online functions and services in this country. And sometimes it's just a lack of access to information that's the most frustrating part. Could you believe I and people I know had been attempting to top up our phones over the weekend? realizing that people weren't able to top up on the Saturday, the Sunday, and on the Monday. I thought that we had had possibly 48 hours of consecutive non-access to a very vital function. It turns out I was incorrect. We had access at some point on Saturday, at some point on Sunday, and at some point on Monday. But it's sort of like the point I made earlier, only similar. I don't pay for packets of electricity. I pay for a continuous flow of electricity. I don't pay for packets of internet. I pay for a continuous flow of internet. And in the same way, like, I don't pay for packets and I don't pay and say, okay, you'll get 6 months of online service and then you got to pay for some more. It doesn't work like that. Like, we pay for continuous, these things are continuous. That's how they work. And that's what we expect. And when they're not continuous, we expect a notification that there's been a disruption in service. We have all these beautiful billboards everywhere. I know that we are on our way to be using them to implement the Marco system, and we will be using them because I think we would be surprised if we had a clear indication of the number of sexual offenses involving minors that take place in this town. But maybe our utilities and service providers could use these billboards to give us a handout, some help in being better able to use their services by indicating when they're on, but more importantly, when they're not on. These are things that you wouldn't even have to think about if you centered the consumer in your processes. I'm not sure we're quite there yet. I mean, I kid. We're not there yet at all. And we see this from governance straight down through every function. Where everywhere you go to attempt to engage a service, there's at least one person present who has to ensure that you understand that the service is not really here for you. The person who's going to consume it, that's not the primary function of it. You're just an aside, dear politicians. That's how y'all do it, right? Politics and governance would be so much easier if it weren't for these meddling, pesky citizens. People who keep demanding things like services, like equitable access to housing, thing like that. Anyway, to join the conversation this morning, you can text us at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Now, before we move on in the show, I got to send a big, big, big congratulations out to a very fine young lady, Miss Brianna Pratt. Congratulations on your graduation today from NCA. I know that you have put in all the work with the support of your family, your friends, and your community. You put in all the work to achieve what you have achieved today. So we say good morning to the NCA family and good morning to Brianna Pratt. Also, on the road, let's have a good laugh this morning, my dear people. So earlier I referenced the Minister of National Security. Yesterday and on Sunday, he talked about implementing or using the CCTV that may already be implemented or installed in certain hotspots that would have been identified by Hotshotter. Dear caller, I sorry you hang up. I was coming to you right now. I just wanted to put this out here. So I want to talk about some of the things we could see if we were using the CCTV we've already installed or setting up teams to monitor the CCTV that is installed and we can install. So I'm sorry about that, caller. I'm going to get back to you in a second. Got some texts here. Someone says, keeps going up. It's our fault. 70% of the things we import, we can make for ourselves. Another text says, good morning, Aaron. As a people, if we are too lazy to farm and make our own foods, why are we so shocked at the price of imported food in food stores? Okay, well, this is a half and half. You're right. One of the strategies to deal with the cost of food is to increase your local production. But that doesn't negate the fact that we need regulations in our retail markets to protect the consumer. And those regulations will help us to create more effective tax regimes to take the burden off of the consumer and balance them out across the board. But thank you for that text. That's an important thing to note. One of the strategies to deal with the high cost of imports is to increase your local production. Arlington, let's get to one of these callers. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Well, I think this is a good time for us to shout out what we've been telling them all year and for the last couple of years about planting their own food.
Yeah.
Ms. Green, you and I and many people around here have been telling Bahamian people, if you don't have no farmland, if you give me a minute, if you don't have no farmland, start in your backyard. Move the crabgrass, move the hibiscus, move the Bogan River and the familiars and stuff. Dig all of them up, get some soil, some seaweed, some old bush and dig, let it rot out. Put your own food, put your own seeds in the ground. Everything got its own season. Eat your natural foods. Build up your immune system. Do everything. Because the man, if you listen to Dwight's show this morning, The man has predicted that the cost of food's going up. The real reason is greed. The people at the top of the doggone chain, they're fighting a war, but who's going to be the richest man or woman in the world? It's all about greed, money, financial wealth, and power. They don't care how much people die of starvation. Bahamians, be wise, save, and plant food to eat in the Bahamas instead of importing it. Plus, you don't know what you're importing. You don't know what kind of pesticides they spray on the food. You don't know what you're eating. If you grow organic food in your backyard with your seaweeds and your chicken manure, you know what you're eating out your own backyard. You will be healthier. But hey, man, listen to Sparky for one reason. Plant your own food.
Thank you, Sparky. Thank you, Sparky. Absolutely. And you raise a couple of things for me. You don't even need a backyard to grow. If you're living in an apartment, look here, I'm going to be honest. If you're living in a car, right, you get yourself a bag of dirt. You go to the plant store, the construction store, when you know this discount day. Ask them for a damaged bag. Why are you going to cut the bag open anyway? You set that bag of soil out on the top of that car you're sleeping in, and you start growing. You take those small steps to begin something, just a little something, make you feel so powerful at the end of the day. Got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, morning, Aaron. What's up?
Everything's good. How you do?
I am great, man. I hope that everybody in the land of the living and they had something hard on their chest this morning. Aaron,
yeah.
Yesterday, one of my friends called me from Andres, and her husband want to buy two bicycles for the children.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them that I would ride around because, you know, a lot of persons selling bicycles and stuff, you know, you want to support the people.
Yeah, small vendors.
Basically on, you know, like on the street vendors and stuff who have their things. You don't want to go into the major shops, so you just want to support them.
Well, we have to find a, hold on, do it. We have to find a balance in our economy because the truth is, those big stores employ the same Bahamians we're trying to support.
Miss Aaron, no, even stick a pin there. Don't go that far.
Okay, yeah. I got you.
Let me say this to you, sis. I went yesterday to a place on Carmichael Road to look for a bicycle, two bicycles. The bicycle is not even a BMX or a name brand, in other words, bicycle. The bicycle that we download and looked at it online costs $75, Aaron.
Uh-huh.
The person has the bicycle for $285.
Ooh.
Hold on, it gets even more interesting. I went to another place on Carmichael Road, and I looked for a bike for a 12-year-old. The person has the bicycle for $325, and anyone who hear my voice this morning think that I'm making up a story and they want to get in contact with me, or they can ride to them same places. Miss Green, listen to me. Yesterday, I said to myself that living in a country, that it's hard on everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the street persons who are selling their stuff, yes, you have to go away. I respect that. You have to pay customs. You have to pay duty. Maybe you got to put your things on a pallet to ship. I understand that. But Ms. Green, if you're going to buy a bicycle for $80 in the States,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to bring it here and sell it for $285 to $300, you're wasting COVID. Because you're trying to really, really kill your poor people. And then they wonder why sometimes the people then decide to go away and pool with their family members and put their stuff on a pallet and bring it in and don't support them.
Yeah.
It's hard to support, some people in this country because you're not trying to look out for your poor people.
Thank you, DeWitt. That's such an important point that you make. It's about balance.
Ms. Green, everyone has to make a living.
Yeah.
I respect that, and I respect that people have to go away and stuff. But Ms. Green, what I'm saying to you this morning, yesterday was like a shocker to me to see that something that I can go online and I can get for $80, you're going to bring it back here and sell it for $280-something to $300?
Yeah. I got to listen to it. I got to go. You make a...
Have a good one, sis.
Yeah, man. You make an important point. And I'm glad you made it before I had to reemphasize it. We need regulations in the market. This place is like the perfect practice of capitalism in this place. I mean, I am almost certain the government paying other countries to come in and use it as a test model. The perfect practice, the perfect environment. We have so few regulations, minimal. But at the same time, DeWitt, I'm so glad you call in because we always got to find the sunshine, right? We always got to find the positive, and you remind me of that all the time. Listen, if I was JA, just Junior Achievers, if I was the BDF, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Rangers, the Boys Brigade, you know what I'd be doing right now? I'd be well into my bicycle recycle, repurpose, upcycle program. For the last 6 months, I'd have been scouring this island for bicycle parts. I'd have been looking for every machine shop, every Cuban machinist, because they bad. In fact, we should invite Cuba to come here and set up a school of what they call it, machinists, right? Of machinists to teach us how to do that. By this week, I would have been sold out of recycled and upcycled bicycles, having anticipated the chain supply crunch, the price rise, the still diminished pay wage, all of those things. But by next year, we're going to have it. By next year, we're going to have it. Also, I said I had a note there. Thank you, Sparky, for bringing up that agricultural thing. I want to talk about the cannabis industry legislation. We may not get through to it today, but here's my Christmas gift to you. Gift number one. If you are considering being a grower in whatever the new iteration of the industry looks like, you need a greenhouse. You need a control grow environment. You should not even be considering investing money into this game unless you have a greenhouse or a contained seal grow environment. Let me stick a pin. I see I got a caller on the line, Arlington. Let's catch them before they dip out. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
God, it is just talking away. We need justice, law, and order in this country. Aaron, the spirit, Grant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey,
Aaron, yes, sir.
You know, I heard you talking about gifts, but first I want to say, right?
Uh-huh.
I wish you would get the commissioner of police on. Too much foolishness happening in this country. And every time I call this office, he's not there to deal with some situation, to have his men and women deal with some situation. You see?
Yes.
So get him on so we can communicate. Also, right, my last point is, right, you talked about gifts. I want from you, I want a tangible gift.
Arlington, come pick me up off the floor, please. Because I was just about to ask you, would you buy in me for Christmas?
You know, people like me don't have money like that.
Listen, you don't have to pay for it with cash. You make it with your hands, man.
So what you,
have to, you don't even have to see it. You just make it. And you
but
say,
I ask
here.
You twice.
Okay, well, then you win. I will bring you something.
You bring me something?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, I will bring you something.
Season greetings that you enjoy your years, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you, bye.
Absolutely. I hope you all see the play just now. Get your Christmas request in first. Be the first one to ask. Don't get caught off guard or by surprise. Man, Arlington, is that another caller on the line? Quick, so, okay, cool beans. See, I like that you brought that up. We need, what'd you say, justice, peace and justice? We definitely need justice. A piece. I'll take a piece of justice, even. Just a little piece. Especially in the rain. Just in case y'all didn't notice, it's raining out there. If you can't see rain, you would have been able to tell by the ridiculous behavior going on around you. I want to say good morning to the three people that ran the stop sign at Collins Avenue right in front of Doctor's Hospital in the rain this morning. I'd like to say good morning to the three people that ran the light at Shirley and Village. It was entertaining, although frightening, very, very frightening. Also to the two vehicles, one, a commercial vehicle clearly labeled with the company information that ran the stop sign, the blind stop sign at Frederick and Shirley Street. I'd like to say good morning to you too. To the one car that ran the light at Cumberland and Duke Street, you didn't have to, but you did. And for that, we say good morning. Also, to the four people that ran the light at Nassau and Boyd Street, I imagine y'all think that poor people don't care. Y'all just don't, the people in the road panhandling, you don't care, you just run the light. People crossing the road to try to get to the bus stop, you don't care, you just run the light. Well, good morning to you too. I'd also like to say good morning to the plethora of cars that had taken to turning right on red at the Shirley and Mackey Street intersection. And I say this with all seriousness. My dear Aunt Juanita that just passed away held a taxi license, and I am going to figure out how I could get it. Because to be a taxi driver in this town must be to be a boss. You don't have to follow no traffic controls. You don't have to stop at stop signs or at red lights. You could throw your car on the sidewalk. You could park in the no parking zone. You could throw your car in the disabled parking spot. You could block the driveway in the various malls and parking lots that we have to travel through. You, dear taxi driver, you are a boss. You are a king among plebs. It's like you're a politician in the Bahamas. You could do what you want. And let me tell you something. My grandmother was one of the first, if not the first, woman taxi drivers. One of the first. And I've had taxi drivers tell me foolishness like they will not drive from Atlantis to Johnson Road in the dark. Tell me foolishness like they're not interested in serving Bahamians. And it's not just the TN plate, you know. It's the black and yellow plate. It's the tour car plate. It's the tour bus plate. When did you become kings? Why did you not invite us to the ceremony? You know what it is to move through a town, your own town, knowing you can't afford to use public transportation? You know how much money it costs for a Bahamian to catch a taxi home from the airport? If you got to travel to the eastern end of the island? I just have one simple question to ask. Is this the new drug industry? Is this where we hitting the lick dead quick now? Anyway, I got a caller on the line. Caller, you are on the clock.
Pleasant good morning, Miss Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Blessings.
That's excellent. I would have had the opportunity to speak with you directly on Dwight's show regarding some of the utterances that you're making. And granted, it's your show. Your statements, especially the last one, ma'am, and I do take personal offense, but if I may say so, because I generally enjoy your show. The taxi drivers themselves do not regulate rates. That's the Road Traffic Department and the Ministry of Transport.
Point. Let's hold on. Pause. I'm not going to hang you up. Hold on, sir. I'm not going to hang up on you.
Go ahead.
I've just asked you to pause for a second. I know that you are upset, right? Because you have expressed that. Don't be upset. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. You're quite right. The taxi members themselves and the union itself, they don't create legislation, nor do they entrench or operate policy. But if I am mistaken, the taxi union has been historically one of the most powerful unions in the country and has lobbied for all manner of things. Are you suggesting to me that the taxi union or the people in leadership have no power, no control, no weight, and no strength whatsoever in the negotiating process? Or can I say that maybe I should ask the question, do you only negotiate for those things that directly impact the taxi driver and not necessarily the consumer of the service?
Well, I would pose the question to you and ask you this. Do you think that the president, and I think it's Darren Wood, when he's negotiating on behalf of his membership at any of the major hotels, that he's going to include the issues of the taxi driver in his negotiations for hotel employees? I don't understand that question.
No, the question is simply this. The taxi union has, there's no doubt that it's a powerful union in the country, at least historically. I don't know what they've done with their power since then. But there's no denying that. What I'm saying is, with all of this power that you have, why is it that the taxi union doesn't have the capacity or the ability to negotiate with the state for rates, services, incentives, or policies that would protect the consumer, the local consumer of the taxi service, from prices or an environment that it's intended to target the tourists? Why am I a Bahamian paying the same rate as a tourist, and why doesn't the taxi driver or the union think that they could lobby on our behalf?
Ms. Green, there are any number of things, but I'll point out two, and I don't want to monopolize your time on your show.
You could.
If I pull up in one of my taxis at a gas station, for example, or if I pull up in my personal car,
uh-huh,
the cost of the fuel, I don't get any consideration. That's number one. When I order a car, whether it's for personal use or to serve as a public transportation vehicle,
mm-hmm,
there are some exceptions. Let me be genuine about that. But mm-hmm, generally, Ms. Green, I'm not given any special consideration.
I'm upset. I've lobbied consistently, though. I've lobbied consistently for concessions for taxi drivers who service locals,
so as to reduce the cost
of that service for locals and protect the taxi driver.
Ms. Green, as I would have said to you previously, we're in an age of technology. I could give you several companies now, mine included, which I won't go ahead and do any shameless plugging. You can go to Facebook. You can go to Google, Ms. Green, and come up with any number of transportation service professionals that happily cater to our citizens.
Yeah, but the prices are not regulated. No, this is good. You're right. You do cater to Bahamians. You happily cater to Bahamians. But your prices across the board are not set at a rate that can ensure access by the people who need the service the most.
But Ms. Green, yet again, you do not go to any of the service stations and say to them, I'm a taxi driver that loves...
Well, let's lobby for that.
Hold on, you don't have to finish.
I lobby in for it. Me and you could lobby for it.
Okay.
But why don't we lobby for that versus saying that ain't happening, so why you expect anything from me?
Most of us, Ms. Green, just simply operate now legitimately service professionals. I'm not talking like many industries. There's a ton of hully-gully. Not just the public transportation system. I want to be forthright in my offering. However, the system in which we operate, we don't control the fuel prices. We don't control the cost associated with trying to make, not just make a living or be abusive and overcharge our citizens. Here's what I would encourage any Bahamian to do. Right on the road traffic website, 2017, there was a 20% across the board increase in rates.
Mm-hmm.
That was strictly issued by Ms. Glenda Sandemark, who was the serving Minister of Transport.
You mean
at the time.
The PLP administration at the time? Because we know there's always been a competent authority. Right.
Well, okay. So any Bahamian where you may feel that a rate being quoted to you is off or doesn't make sense, get that information. And whoever the person is that you spoke with that offered you something else, report them. That's one way to kill some of the nonsense. But the legitimate cost, Ms. Green, where people aren't, public service drivers aren't practicing nonsense, that is not within the control of the taxi driver.
Yes, it is.
The driver, but it is not.
Yes, it is. Listen, you're a part of an industry, and you are impacted by whatever goes on in that industry. And what you do is you form another union. You say, boy, look here, we got a union and we got an industry, but we on this side of the industry are not satisfied, right? We're not satisfied with what this particular union is producing. And we start a union.
If you base it solely on the numbers, the amount of public service drivers, if you want to do a breakdown, because we're talking taxi, you keep talking about taxi drivers, it would be more impactful for our fellow citizens. There are greater numbers.
No. Y'all need to stop doing that. Y'all, okay. No, let me tell you why. I hope I'm not coming across as rude or combative, okay?
No, just anti-taxi.
That's how it is? That's good. Boy, look here. Let me tell you something. That's good. I'm coming across as anti-taxi. I could hear you in the background, though. You can't do that.
Yes,
you're talking to somebody else. I can hear you in the background.
No, that's me. That's me.
That's even better. Watch this. I don't mind coming across as anti-taxi. Like I told you, and I've said it repeatedly over the last 20 plus years, my Grammy was one of the first taxi drivers in this town. And I have repeatedly had a problem with taxi drivers. Not every taxi driver. There have been some wonderful taxi drivers.
Other than your Grammy, Ms. Gian, can I ask you one question? What other taxi drivers in recent times would you have engaged?
No, my Grammy was in recent times. Hold on, pause. That's what I say. My Grammy was in recent time.
How recent?
I stop even attempting to catch. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. But I got to go at this point. I got a lot of text. But I don't think you understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I have made a political decision through my 20 years of experience, and it happened even long before 5 years ago I made the decision, right? That I am not interested in using a service that's not interested in servicing Bahamians. I'm not interested in using a service that's prioritizing tourists over Bahamians in their own country. And I'm certainly flummoxed, flabbergasted by a taxi union that has traditionally held so much power in this town to now in 2021 kick it like, but we're powerless in the face of this political environment. We're powerless in the face of all of these hotels and the government. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I may have rubbed a lot of people the wrong way by expressing it or by expressing it the way that I have expressed it. But I'll tell you what, it's only so many times a taxi driver could look in my face in my own country and tell me they're not going to serve me before I decide to do something about it. Anyway, thank you, Arlington. I almost forget we had commercials. It's time to go to a break. You stay tuned to 96.9 FM. My texters, when we get back from the break, I'm going to hit up all of these texts. And let's talk about it. Don't be afraid, because you're on the clock with Erin Green.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me three bugles,
two cowbells, and a costume to rush on the street.
Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Juan McCartney, and I am wishing you and your family all the happiness in the world this holiday season and all of God's abundant blessings in the new year. Here's to hoping you have a great 2022.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. I want to say good morning to my friend who just called in. I hope you are right. And I hope to the listening audience, that was not a fight. That was not a bus up. Sometimes we just gotta talk to each other like that. But I appreciate your contribution. I apologize if I hurt your feelings with my strong commentary. I can remember to be a little softer on the vibe. But I'm passionate about this one. And it's another one of those issues that we need to talk about in the fullness. Because I can tell you, boy. See, the straw market union, the straw vendors, and the taxi union, right? Historically, two of the most powerful spaces in the country. Historically. And straw market and taxi drivers put all their children through college, doctors, lawyers, PhDs. These by them had power. And all I'm trying to figure out is what are they using their power for now? And how am I to support you if you are not considering me? The most vital part of your service. For if there's nobody to drive, then who's going to pay you for driving them, right? Let's find a balance. I got to get a caller, give me a second. I got to get to these texts. Text says, hi, Ms. Green. All of these government offices need to be cashless. The Bahamas is too backward. The masses can't be held up for a few. They can find their way to access U.S. visas, though. Some will have to be dragged along. If not, we would still be riding donkeys. I'm so glad that you said that. Yes, some can find their way to access U.S. visas, though. It has less to do about them and more to do with the person offering or the entity offering the service. Yes, we do need to be cashless, but no, we're not ready for it yet. Are your utility service providers ready? Will they guarantee seamless, continuous access to power everywhere? Will they guarantee regulated distribution of power so I don't worry about my house equipment burning up? Do we have an industry that provides oversight and regulation and quick inspections for electrical installations? What about our internet service providers? Do we have equal and equitable access to services? Am I going to have to drive to the end of Frank Watson Boulevard to conduct all my online transactions and business services? Are the websites and the apps that we are being coerced to use designed at a global standard, providing ease of access and communication? Do we have enforcement of do we even have regulations to protect the consumer in case there's an error or a mistake on the part of the service provider? Do you have 24/7 communications and so that if I do make a mistake, I know it can be corrected as quickly as possible? See, because you're right. If we expect to compete with the rest of the world, then we're moving far too slowly. But it's not us, the consumer, that's the problem. Again, it's the service provider. Another text, good informative shows, Ms. Green. How could it be? Stop the madness about cashless. It's like no preparation or education of your people, putting cart before the horse, dreaming theory, analog mentality without real practice details. You know what I mean? I do know what you mean. Leon Williams, former head of BTC on Lester's show, said that the politicians dragging people into the future, like they're dragging the past into the future. Well, listen, you're dragging people into a future you have not prepared them for, nor have you made a way for. Remember, at the top of the show, I said it's like the Bahamas is the perfect practice of capitalism. Anybody could be collateral damage. Another text, good morning. Tell that caller stop challenging people prices. I ordered a bike for $265. It's duty-free, but shipping and taxes was another $149. So tell him, hush his mouth. So you're saying that the bike, after you added the $149, was $265? Because he was saying the bike, when you order it online, came to $75, and at the end of the day, it was almost $300. There are some items where the cost is just the cost and the merchant isn't making much profit. Another text says, why does Sparky call every radio show? Us young people are tired of hearing from him, so annoying. He calling because he have information he have to pour out before he passes on. It is our job to create the perfect mechanism or vehicle, not just for Sparky, but for every Bahamian that has a contribution to make. Another text, Aaron, no shade. Oh, hey, Aaron, this is in 1970. Everyone should have a debit card and access to digital services. Also, I don't think we should raise minimum wage because I've done research on this and it just causes businesses to hire less people and this contributes to higher unemployment. Maybe we need nicer businesses, business people. Maybe that's what it is. Because something has to work. The effects of the decades-long energy crisis are still being felt. And despite promises of clearing it up, we still have a problem. All right, I got to get on. Aaron, no shade, right? You came from QC and you're very intelligent. We don't need regulations. The market corrects itself. Because if someone is selling a bike for $300, the market won't buy it. Have you seen these markets correcting themselves recently? Have you seen them? Have you seen them? Oh, boy. Morning, Miss Green. I hope the PLP gives DeWitt something to do. He has a lot to offer, but I don't do the politics in no way. But I love the way he brings it to the people. Good show, Miss Green. We have to find a mechanism. And I'm saying this in a ruthless way, you know. We need to drain these people. Our country needs it. And these people are willing to be drained. Another text. Great show as usual, Miss Green. Me and you are from the ghetto. Hairy mango means something different. Listen, it means money. It is the juice mango. It is the best flavored mango for mass production. It has so much value. Also, happy birthday to Christina Toot. We hope you enjoy your day. Another text says, the taxi driver ain't all that wrong. I live in Fox Hill. I try not to drive through Fox Hill in the dark. I try not to drive through Fox Hill in the day. Sometimes I wish I could teleport home. I appreciate that. That is for the taxi union industry to liaise with the police, the private security industry, although you're treating them private security people like they are enslaved people. We're going to talk about that too. Good day, Aaron. I'm glad you're speaking to this. I remember catching a cab from the airport to Golden Gates years ago, and the cab driver caused me to wait until he got two more fares before we left the airport. Now, mind you, if you put a notice up and tell me that's what we're doing, I may be okay with that. All right, another text quickly. Not funny at all. I stopped for a pedestrian to cross, but an Estee swung out from behind me, then in front of me, overtaking me, speeding off, delaying the crossing of that pedestrian. I don't know what the head office hours are for Gambia House. Thank you, BTC. Aaron Green, for God's sake, stop cutting off people before they make their point. You continue to cut people, then you keep saying, let's have a conversation. Stop it, please. I think he made his point very clearly. And I'm not dissing him at all. He made the point, and I spoke to it. I just wanted to change the way we engage each other. Taxi drivers can't survive taking locals around. The local market is very small. Yeah, man, so taxis just for tourists. No public transportation options. The jitneys are for working people. That's it. They only run through working hours. Jitneys are not for people who want to do other things. Y'all really, we have to, even if we don't believe it, pretend that we respect poor people. Text says the bike online was $265 before shipping. Wow. Last text. The person says, you was rough today, but I listen to 96.9 every day. Well, thank you, Texter. Listen, it's a little late. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Thank you for joining the conversation. My dear taxi driver friend, please call me back. Hit the producer up with your number. Let's organize a show. Because I even have other family members that are in this industry. I'm not about shutting you down. Let's have a conversation. To the callers on the line, I'm so sorry I couldn't get to you. I'm so, so sorry. But stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be an entertaining day.
Christmas, my true love sent to me 9 blue miles.